From talk to music, from Johannesburg to Israel, from sport to business, this is 101.9 High FM.
Benji Shulman on the New Blue Review. By the way, if you want to be part of the show, we always welcome your engagement. You can WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. You can SMS us on 34519. Tweet us at High FM. Email us on info@highfm.com and we'll be happy to engage. As I said, Dean Solomon, he is in the studio and he is from Zimbabwe. Dean, originally at least. Dean, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us on 5M.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, give us a bit of a sense. You grew up in Zimbabwe. You went to the school. First of all, what is the name of the school and where is it based?
So, I was born in Johannesburg. Okay. My parents are originally from Rhodesia. They moved to Joburg mid-1980s. Had my two brothers, my two older brothers, then myself, and when I was two, they moved back to Bulawayo, which is where we spent most of our childhood, and ended up attending Carmel School, which was the Jewish day school, Jewish junior day school, in Bulawayo. We had a junior school in Bulawayo, Carmel, and in Harare they had Sharon, which was almost the equivalent, grade one to grade seven.
And were they high school equivalent?
No. Certainly not in Bulawayo. Which ended up ending in a Catholic high school, Christian Brothers College. They have the Boxburg equivalent here and in a few other places. And then in 2005, I ended up moving to Durban, to boarding school. I didn't get sent. That was at my own request. I ended up in boarding school in just outside of Pietermaritzburg at a Methodist high school. So I've had my fair share of different educational upbringing. It's been different. It was interesting. Being with different people of different faiths, different religions, it makes you see the world in a different light almost.
Yeah, and I'd love to get some insight into that because it sounds like a fascinating schooling career. Start off by telling us though about Carmel. What was it like to go to a Jewish school in Zimbabwe? What was the school like? What did you do?
Oh, look, the school was great. In my class, there was only two Jews, myself and another girl. So if we were the only ones who we had a Hebrew class every year, and between the two of us, I won best boy, she won best girl in Hebrew class. So we had Hebrew, we learned to read Hebrew, write Hebrew, understand Hebrew as much as we could at that stage. We had Jewish history lessons, but it being just for the two of us, they accommodated us, which I think was quite amazing. So there were about 30 kids in our class, 30 kids in each class, and it was a great upbringing. I mean, they catered for us. The community catered for us. It was a very small community, a very tight-knit community. Most of them felt like family if they weren't family. And it was what felt like a normal upbringing, growing up with African friends, Muslim friends, and they all attended the school. It wasn't, and that was the beauty of it at that point in time. It was a very diverse class, and we didn't see it any different at that stage.
And these pictures and videos that that I would send of the assembly on a Friday afternoon, walk us through the morning. Walk us through what that looked like and what you guys used to do.
So kippah every day in service, every morning in assembly, and that was worn by all. You got into a little bit of trouble if you didn't have your kippah on you. And on a Friday morning we had a Shabbos service during assembly, there would be a version that would be singing a tikvah, as well as the Zim national anthem, which everyone had to learn. And then on the Friday, we would have Shabbos service, make a bracha over some bread and some grape juice. And before everyone left, they all got a bit of challah to take home, and then before break. It was great.
And how did this go down with all the kids in the class? I mean, I guess everyone was fairly young, but did anyone, I mean, other than yourself, the two Jewish kids in the school, really sort of grasp what the significance of some of this stuff was all about?
I've never really thought about that, but I don't imagine so. I mean, for us, for most of them, at least me and my friends, we only really cared about when the break time was and when we could go out and go into the field and play some sport, But it was a Jewish school, and I think parents knew exactly what that meant. I think for a lot of the Muslim families that were there, they they almost identified to what we're trying to do as opposed to sending them to a Catholic equivalent. You know, I think for them it was far too different. And everyone was, well, at least from what I'd seen, maybe I was a bit naive in a young age, but everyone was kind of tolerant of it. Not only tolerant, but accepting of it.
And it interests me that even since you left quite some time ago, and I'm guessing that there's no more Jewish kids in the school, they still maintain those traditions. And apparently, according to the report that I got, that's the principal says it's a Jewish school, and therefore that's important that they maintain those sort of traditions as part of the school culture, even if, you know, there's no actual Jews left, which I think is a fascinating way, and I think it's very African. I don't know if this would happen anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, literally not one Jewish child left in the school, and still to this day they hold the Shabbos service, wear kippot. It's amazing. It really is. I mean, I think quite rightly, I don't think you would see this anywhere else in the world, and you kind of ask yourself why, but for the community that does remain there, I think it's an amazing thing that they've been able to actually keep going. Who knows, maybe one day, who knows, maybe you end up back there.
Now, I want to ask you after the break a little bit about the Buraweyo and Harare communities, because I think they are a little bit different, and I think people don't always have a sense of Zimbabwe. So we're going to be talking about that after the break, just getting a sense about what was it like beyond the school in the Jewish community in Zimbabwe.
The best part of your day. At the heart of your community. All the talk. All the music. All the news. Hi FM.
101.9 Hi FM. I'm Benji Shulman, and this is the New Blue Review. By the way, if you're a Zimbabwean, any kind,
We're happy to take your views on everything. 061-895-1019. That's the WhatsApp line. SMS us 34519. We're in studio with Dean Solomon today, talking about what was it like to grow up in Zimbabwe. Now, Dean, you grew up in Bulawayo. The other part of the Jewish community is in Harare. Is there much difference between the two, size-wise, culture-wise?
So size-wise, when I was growing up, Harare was a bigger community. Not significantly, but it felt like whenever we were in Harare, it felt we had cousins, we had uncles and aunts in Harare. It felt like from a community perspective, it was all the same. You know, they had the Jewish school from an upbringing point of view there. I think there was a bigger Sephardic community in Harare, but for most part of it, it felt like you could have been in your parents' home. You know, and it was great. Harare was a much bigger city. I'm trying to think of the equivalent here, probably comparing a Durban community to maybe Pretoria to an extent. I've experienced the communities in both areas there, especially living in Durban, well, just outside of Durban. But very warm, very, very warm communities.
And you were going to school at the time when Zimbabwe was going through some pretty difficult periods in its history. I mean, it has had some pretty difficult periods just regardless. But, I mean, there was always like a racial issue in Zimbabwe in terms of, you know, the white farmers and ZANU-PF. Did that affect the Jewish community as the Jewish community? Or were you just kind of sucked up into the general, as a young person, into the general political upheaval?
I think from a schooling perspective, we were kind of sheltered. We were sheltered from all of that. And from a community perspective, again, might have been a young, naive me. It didn't feel like there was any prejudice toward us or anything of the kind. It felt like almost as though the Jews were there, they did their thing, and that was it. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no actual intervention from outside, pressures from outside. I think a lot of the guys there, as much tension and racial tension there has been, there still is a lot of respect for the religious communities. Mm-hmm. The religious communities, yeah, in the greater sense. And from that aspect, it felt like we were living a normal childhood in that regard. Look, things were hard, which is why I actually ended up having to leave them. We would be sitting in a classroom and our maths teacher, I'll never forget, she received an SMS the one morning saying that the one petrol station was receiving fuel, and I think anywhere between the next 48 to 72 hours. So she was like saying, sorry, I need to go and sit in a queue for potentially the next 3 days to go and get to have fill up my car. Mm-hmm. And it was then that I had the conversation with my dad. I said to him, you know, it was actually the conversation. My oldest brother came home and he said, maybe you should consider looking at other options, you know, before our matric syllabus really started kicking in and moving to South Africa. So the next day, my dad basically phoned me crying, saying, is this something you really want to do? And a week later, I was bags packed on the way to Durban to boarding school.
So you were in grade 11 at the time?
A Form 3 equivalent, yeah. No. So I would have been ending grade 9. Ending grade 9, going into grade 10. 15 years old.
So you were 15 years old. Yeah. That's a big decision to take for a young person to leave your family and say, okay, it's time to go somewhere else.
Yeah. So my middle brother had just finished school. So he was moving to Cape Town to go in further his studies. And it was hard, especially those first 2-3 weeks boarding school. It's tough. Your life kind of revolves around a bell. You know, first bell, second bell, third bell. You're out the house, eating breakfast, making sure that your shoes are polished and your tie's on. But once you get into the routine of things and you actually make friends and you get involved in the whole school spirit, it really was great. And I think the bit of closure that I needed was going back to Zim for the first time to actually see my parents and seeing the differences to what I had and what I was getting and what I had. And it did make that decision. Well, it made my decision much easier. But those first few weeks, couple of months was really, really hard.
Now, Zimbabweans themselves, I mean, certainly the Zimbabwean expat community that we have here, and I'm talking here about the black Zimbabweans specifically, they seem to be a very friendly people, very helpful, highly educated. Is that your experience? Is it more integrated than South Africa? Because obviously we have this like long history here of segregation. But you kind of wonder in other African countries, are people more, do they engage more than perhaps we did here?
So I think if any of the few things that the Mugabe regime did get right, it was his focus on education. Mm-hmm. And I think that played a significant role in the growth of the people there. So, I mean, you see people with economics degrees, law degrees that are ending up being your waiters in your restaurants and cleaning your bathrooms in nightclubs or whatever the case may be. And it's terrible to see, you know, they've had to leave their families, but they will do anything to make sure they provide for their families. There is almost a sense that they're too scared to not be able to earn an income to send back to their families, especially now. You see what's going on now. People, they can't afford to do anything. There's chaos with the currency at the moment. No one really knows what's going to happen. Is it going to go exactly back to what we experienced a few years ago? It's sad. It's sad to see that the people are suffering again.
So I think there was a lot of hope in some respects, certainly earlier this year, with the election and with the end of Mugabe. Is there a sense that that's faded a bit, or do you think that this might just be some of the healing that's needed to get the country onto a right track?
My heart goes out to them. I mean, I've tried and converse with as many people that I can who still have family there to try and suss out, because I haven't been back since 2014, 2015. My parents have since left. I try and get a sense of whether they have hope, whether they're just getting to a point where they, you know, look, there's not much unfortunately that can do, but contrast that to a South African environment where I don't think the people here would give as much patience as the Zimbabweans do. I think there would be a lot more violence. Look, there's a lot of police brutality that one has to bear in mind, but there was a sense of hope, don't get me wrong. When it was found out that he was stepping down, it was for everyone. People who are living there, people who used to live there years ago, people who had lost everything that they had, there was a sense of hope. But you see what's going on there, and it kind of is this the same thing just happening over again.
Now, I want to track back to your school experience for a moment. Not just the fact that you had to now deal with a bell and shoes and tie and all that kind of thing. Going from a Jewish school into a Catholic school, into a Methodist school, I'm assuming that the last two were also boys' schools. So that's an additional cultural shift, I'm sure. Talk to us a little bit about those different experiences, because I do think it's fairly unique.
So when I left Carmel going into high school, Christian Brothers College, it was the one thing I will say is that I did grow up in a very disciplined environment. That's one thing that the school system, they still got corporal punishment there.
In Zimbabwe?
In Zimbabwe, yeah.
So you yourself got jacks or flaps or anything like that?
As hard as I would like to say I am, that honestly, it terrified me. There were a few instances where I was standing outside the principal's office and I heard the noise that came off that stick, and it made me avoid his his office for a very, very long time.
So you were saying discipline.
So a very, very disciplined environment, you know. From a cultural perspective, not much had changed. As I said, there was only one other Jewish girl in my class with me. She had relocated to the UK. Being in an all boys environment, when I was 12 years old, I only really cared about cricket and soccer and, you know, just getting out there in the afternoon after school. So from that point of view, nothing had changed. The only thing now that I really had to get used to was at least sitting through Catholic Mass, going and listening to all the different carols that were being sung build up into Christmas time. It was interesting. It certainly was an eye opener. And you did get a few kids who would look at you and say, why aren't you singing? Like, what's going on? You know, and you kind of explain to them, it's not exactly my thing. some of them would run off and say, oh, Dean's not singing. Oh, yeah, you know, but you had to kind of, in the same way you had non-Jewish kids attending a Jewish school and abiding by the Jewish ethos, we had to kind of abide by Catholic ethos to an extent. You know, I certainly wasn't going to partake in, but at least go and sit there with everyone else.
So how often did you have to do that?
Twice a week, sometimes three times a week. Yeah. With the big mass, probably once a month.
It's pretty intensive.
Yeah, it was, and it was a big eye opener. Here's me, for us it was challah on a Friday, to them it's a type of wafer, and you're like, oh, do we get some kind of thing, you know? So it was a bit of a learning experience.
And what about like Jewish holidays? I mean, were you able to get off for Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, sort of thing?
Yeah. The high holidays, definitely. And when we needed to, we did. There were some times you did hear a few jibes. It's like, oh, why are you, you know, why, how come you're allowed this? If you're allowed this, then we should be too. But you get on with it. You do what you have to do.
And so you never had any problems with overt anti-Semitism?
Not directly. Not to a point. Look, there was always comments, Jew boy, Jew this, you know, but I never had any, I never had violence in my face, if I was never really threatened with violence in my face. Yes, the guys would call names or whatever the case may be. No, it didn't ever feel like it was aggressive or violent to that extent, more of just from a banter perspective. You know, for a lot of the guys, especially when I moved to Durban, they hadn't really never seen a Jew, you know. So for them, it was more calling and looking for a reaction as opposed to anything. You don't give them the reaction, they get over it. They move on.
And at the Methodist school, was it a similar kind of a culture, just a different Christianity?
Yeah, very much so. A little less strict because there was no corporal punishment, so the guys felt like they could do a little get away with it a little bit more, and they could. Which is also, I thinking back about it, in my first like 6 weeks, I was getting up. You know, when I say discipline, I'm talking about if one of the teachers walked past you, if you were sitting outside and a cop drove past you, you would stand up and take off your hat and kind of greet to that extent, you know. So I was still very much in that rhythm when I moved to Durban. And for a lot of the kids, they found this highly entertaining. But it did get a bit more relaxed.
Did that school also do the O-levels or the A-levels?
No, so they were on a matric syllabus.
So you had to also switch syllabuses?
Yeah. So, which is why I needed to make the decision that when I left at the age of 15, it was the beginning of the matric syllabus. So I either had to leave then or I had to stick it up for the O's and A levels. And thankfully I didn't have to write the O's and A levels.
Why go to some boarding school in the middle of nowhere? I mean, so there were Jewish schools, there was places in Joburg even.
So Cape Town was where my brothers were. And my oldest brother had been studying there. My middle brother was moving there to study. And I kind of looked at it, and I didn't want to be a burden on my brothers if I was going there to schlep me back and forth to school. My parents were still in Zim at the time. I had one or two friends who had gone to the school, which was kind of one of the reasons that it ever became an option. But it shaped me into who I am today. It really was a different experience. If my wife asks, like, whether I'd send my kids to boarding school, there's certainly an element that I wish I could explain to people what you do really get out of it. But yeah, that'll never happen.
Because of your wife.
No. You know, at the Jewish upbringing, we had a very traditional home. My parents were very traditional. But there was, I personally feel that I wish there was a bit more of a Jewish education that I could have had in my upbringing. And I, for please God, my kids one day will be able to experience that kind of upbringing.
And so you're now settled in South Africa, and you're okay.
As settled as one can be.
Right. You always have your passport in your back pocket.
Correct. We're very comfortable here. If that's the word I could use. But having seen what happened in Zim and you start seeing the traits of what's happening here, it makes you a little bit nervous, as young as I was, you know, but it did, had a major impact on my life, and you just kind of see those traits happening again, and whether that could impact your life again here.
The next Zimbabwe is a phrase everyone hates. Obviously it's something that worries you, but do you think that we're fundamentally different?
I think, which is what I've said to anyone, is as long as your courts are fair, I think you have the opportunity. Well, you're unlikely to go in that direction. Once that goes, I certainly don't think there's much stopping South Africa from going in the same direction.
And the community still in Zim? Do you still keep in contact? Is there still? I know that the community here was mobilizing if there was going to be a problem at some point to help the community there. But is there still a network?
Very small, but there is. I still have a cousin there who commutes between Joburg and Bulawayo. The guys do what they can do. Look, when I was growing up, people couldn't really wait for you to have a bar mitzvah because you were an extra person for the minyan. You know, so as soon as you became of that age, you were always phoned. And that's how it had to be, you know, before every minyan, it would be a phone call the night before. Are you available? Can you make it? And that's how it was. It's a very small community there. When I was there, I would say probably about 100 people. Now, if there's more than 25, 30, I'd be surprised.
Very, very interesting. Dean Solomon, thank you so much for coming on 101.9 Chai FM and the New Bureau and sharing your experiences.
Thank you very much for having me.
We'll be back just after the break.
Stay relevant and up to date. Keep informed. This is 101.9 Chai FM.